Blog Talk Radio.
Me say summer we blessed still with food. Me a funny girl say blessings are running down. Me a dead dead dead. Imagine cause I'm half a cast cover and over what it should be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Yo, let me preach. Hey, when me wake up early this morning, outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes late from the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place, I shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like Jamaican food in a Dutch pot.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed joining you again tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. We've been studying having faith in the midst of trouble, having faith in the midst of trouble. And I'm so glad that you have joined me again tonight. Our lesson for tonight is the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In other words, God wants us to realize that He has given us joy, and that we must learn how to praise God at all times. Learn how to praise God at all times. And so we're going to be looking at various scriptures from the Psalms, and also we will end with St. John chapter 15. So bow your head and let us pray. Dear Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We bless and magnify your holy name. I thank you tonight, Lord, for all those that will hear this message, whether live or archived. Father, we just bless you. We thank you so much for holding our hand and gently guiding us through the challenges that we face in life. We thank you, Lord, for always being there to listen to us and to give us guidance. Father, we pray for those tonight that might not know you, Lord, that they would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. We pray for those that need strength right now, God, that you would strengthen them, that you would help them to understand how much you care about them. Father, I thank you for your sons and your daughters everywhere that love you with all their hearts and all their minds. We pray that you would strengthen them and help them. Lord God, we pray for nations everywhere. God, that you'll remember North Korea and the new ruler who is about to take over. We pray, oh God, that there would be great change in their society and that they would come to allow their people to worship you freely. Lord, we just thank you because you are truly God. You sit on your throne. And, oh God, men love to worship and serve themselves. But, Lord, we pray that folks everywhere would begin to truly put their trust in you. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you for your love. And I pray, oh God, today that you would truly move in a special way. Remember your people, Lord. Remember the ones that have been in the faith for a long time. Lord, that are seeking to be revived and refreshed. I pray that you would refresh them right now with manna from above. I pray, oh God, that you would bring revival to the church, that this year would be the year that we begin to do all the things that you have called us to do. We bless you. We honor you. We lift up your holy name, O God, and we thank you for all that you have already done, for all that you're about to do. We say thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, dear friend, I'm so glad that you're studying with me again. We will begin with the Psalms. Once again, our topic for tonight is the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so we're going to look at a few scriptures that talk about giving praise to God. We will start with Psalms 107. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy is endured forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Now, that is cause to give God praise. You see, the Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." Oh, give thanks. So, in other words, God is encouraging us to rejoice. He is encouraging us to be happy. He is encouraging us to utilize that inner joy that he has given us, that inner peace that he has given us, that rest that he has given us in Jesus Christ. We must give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. God has been good to us. Dear friend, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what surrounds us and the attitude of those around us. We must be the encouraging ones. We must be the ones that show forth joy and happiness, and we must be the ones that turn the conversation when others are negative. The Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." We can always tell someone thank you for a gift that they give to us, but the bottom line is that our ultimate praise should go to God, because God is the one that gives each and every one of us strength. He is the one that guides us. He is the one that gave that person that is giving you a gift this year. He is the one that gave them the breath and the strength in their bodies to be able to go to work and make the money in order to buy gifts. And so, dear friend, I don't want you to get this thing wrong. I want you to understand that whatever good gift comes to you, that God is still the giver. And although you might say thank you to that friend or family member that gives you a nice gift, you must always afterwards acknowledge, or at the same time acknowledge, that God is good. All the time, God is good. The Bible says, "For his mercy endureth forever." Mercy, grace. When you think about those words, you should think in terms of God giving us something that is undeserved. In other words, when God allows us to see another day, that's his mercy. When he allows us to be able to see the sunshine, that's his mercy. When he allows us to be able to hear the raindrops falling, that's his mercy. Whatever we experience of the goodness of the earth, that's God's mercy. Because God, in his mercy, did not give mankind what they deserve, but in his mercy, he sent his son Jesus to be born of a virgin in order to allow us to experience his mercy, to experience the joy of the Lord. The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy." We were headed to a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels, a place called hell. Some people say Sheol or what have you, Hades. Doesn't matter what term you use, as long as you understand the concept that the word hell is a place of torment. We were headed towards this place because of our disobedience, but the Lord showed mercy on us when he sent Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so the Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." In other words, God redeemed us out of the hand of the enemy. And of course, if you study this literally in its historical context, you can study about the fact that David, when he was running from his enemies, and at one point he was running from Saul because Saul sought to kill David because of his envy, because David gained more popularity with the people than Saul did. So at one point, David was actually running from Saul because of all the challenges that he had experienced with Saul. And so historically, you can put this scripture back into context and think about the experience that David had. But then when you think in terms of what God has done for us, you can say, wow, I'm so grateful to God because he did redeem us from the hand of the enemy. He redeemed us out of the hand of Satan because Satan chose to exalt himself above God, or at least he attempted to, and he was kicked out or thrown out of heaven because of his disobedience. And so when he came down here, he wanted to influence mankind to disobey God. And when he did that, he plunged the entire world into sin. And when he plunged us into sin, we were on our way to a place of torment apart from God forever. And God showed mercy on us and redeemed us out of that situation. He caused us to be able to have the opportunity to surrender our lives once again to him and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the joy of the Lord is our strength, because God has given us joy. He has given us peace. He has given us comfort. He has given us rest in his Son, Jesus Christ. We know each and every day that it does not matter what kind of turmoil happens in the world, that we are able to put our trust in God. We are able to rest in God because we know that through each daily experience that we have, we can always rest in that hope that God has promised us eternal life. Dear friend, I hope you know how much God loves you and how much he cares about you. And this is the reason why he has redeemed us out of the hand of the enemy. He has redeemed your life. He has redeemed my life out of the hand of the enemy. If you will look at Psalms 106, it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endured forever." Once again, God is good. It says in verse 2, "Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times." And so we see, once again, who can do what God has done? There are folks who will try to imitate the things of God, and they will try to pretend, the New Age movement will try to tell you that you are demigods or what have you. But I want you to understand this, dear friend, that it was not God's intention that any human being should call themselves God. And so you are not a God, and you are not able to do mighty acts like God can. But what Jesus did, Jesus gave us authority over the demonic world, over demonic influence, where we can pray to Jesus and we can heal the sick and we can cast out demons and we can pray for people who are addicted to substances and what have you, and they can be delivered. So don't get confused, dear friend, with the things that people are telling you in our modern religious world, where they're telling you that you are your own God. You are not your own God. God Almighty is still on his throne. He is still high above the heavens. And our finite minds are definitely not the same as God's infinite mind. God is omniscient, all-knowing, and I definitely know, dear friend, that most of us are not, none of us actually are omniscient, that we are not all-knowing, because God knew in his mercy that if we knew too much ahead of time, we would be very sorrowful indeed. And so he was merciful to us in doing a kindness to us, in allowing us to only be able to see but so far into the future. And the little bit that we can see is only a guess, because no one knows what tomorrow holds except for God. So, dear friend, I want you to know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. God has given you joy. He has given you peace because he is merciful. He is merciful. Look at Psalms 111. It says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He had made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Dear friend, understand this, that the Lord is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised. Understand that we should praise him with our whole heart. Why? Because he gives us the strength that we need to walk daily, to live daily, to relax daily in his presence, and to be able to worship him. Notice it says with your whole heart, meaning that your mind should not be distracted. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so, dear friend, when you have made up your mind to serve God, make sure that your heart is focused, that your heart is fixed, that your entire being is focused on serving God completely. The Bible says the works of the Lord are great. They are great. So whatever God does is great. It's magnificent. Sometimes when you are not busy working, you ought to just sit out on your porch or stand outside and just take a good look around you. And you will begin to see little birds chirping. You might see them trying to find food or trying to make a nest. You might see little bugs crawling on the ground. You might even see little ants carrying food. When you take time to look around you, you will see that God is glorious and that what he has made in his world is awesome. It is mighty. And that we should take time just to look around us and appreciate the fact that God has really placed us in a beautiful world. And he has really blessed us with great things. Everything that we have need of, God has given to us to be able to enjoy the world that he has placed us in. He truly has given us joy and peace. And the joy of the Lord truly is our strength. Dear friend, if you're not feeling his strength, begin to pray and ask him to help you to feel his strength and to feel his might, because truly God is with you. He's there to help you. He's there to strengthen you. And we must acknowledge him for who he is. He is God Almighty. And the Bible says in verse 2, Psalm 111, verse 2, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Notice it says sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. In other words, only those who enjoy serving God are going to seek the things of God. And so if you have some folks in your church, in your congregation, who are not interested in coming to prayer meeting, not interested in showing up to church, chances are they are not truly dedicated to God because they are not finding pleasure in the things of God. Those who love God will find pleasure in all the things of God. They will find pleasure in the Word of God. They will find pleasure in going to church and singing hymns and what have you. And so if you know someone who is not finding pleasure in those things, pray for them that God will touch their hearts once again, that God will revive them once again, that God will pull them out of their complacency. It is so easy, dear friend, over the years to be complacent. And I think that's one of my pet peeves, you know, that I find it so easy for myself and others to become complacent. And we have to recognize complacency and begin to pray and ask God to stir up those gifts within us and stir up our hearts and stir up our minds and allow us to truly begin to do the things that we were called to do again with fervency and energy and not be slack in the things of God. It seems as if sometimes the things of God are put on the back burner, and God wants to remind us that his work is priority, and the things that we do for him, we should take pleasure in doing them, and that we should encourage others also to take pleasure in blessing and praising God, because truly the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Bible tells us that he had made his wonderful works to be remembered. God wants us to remember daily the things that he has done for us. Not just the things that he has given to us, you know, like money and land and what have you, but just remember who he is, that the very breath that we draw every day was given by God. And we must remember that the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. And so, because the Lord is full of compassion, we should have compassion one to another. When someone has fallen, pick them up. When they need prayer, pray for them. When they need a word of encouragement, encourage them. We should have compassion one towards another. If someone is hungry, feed them. If they need clothes, give them clothing. We need to have that compassion that Jesus had towards the people. When he was out on the hillside, teaching and speaking to them, when the people became hungry, he fed them. He did not send them away hungry, but he fed them. Dear friend, if it is in your power to help someone else, be kind, be compassionate, and help them. Because the Lord is compassionate towards us, and he truly is wonderful. Psalms 108. Verse 1 says, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. And that glory utilized there is different from God's glory. When that person says, my glory, I will sing and give praise even with my glory, what it means is all that is within me. Everything that is in my heart, I will not leave anything left in my heart that is not praising you. Everything that I have belongs to God. All that is within me blesses the Lord. It has the connotation of one who loses himself in praise. In other words, he is not focused on the people around him or her, and he or she is not focused on those around him or her, but this person is focused on such praise and adoration of the Lord that they are no longer self-conscious about other people staring at them and other people looking at them. I believe at one point David just danced, you know, and he danced out of his clothing. And I don't expect anyone in church to dance out of their clothing, you know, although, you know, if you've gone to church long enough, you know that people have had those types of mishaps and they're quite hilarious. But I am referring to the fact that when you worship God, you should not be inhibited with your praise, but you should give God praise with all your heart and all your mind. And for some, it might be a loud, exuberant praise, and for others, it might be a quiet praise. But however God has called you to praise him, do it with all your heart and do it with all your mind, because God wants to hear your praise and he wants to be able to to smell that sweet-smelling savor of your praise coming up towards heaven. So understand that the Lord is your joy and your strength. And when you begin to praise him, you will see that he just fills your heart more and more each day with praise. The more you praise him, the more you will want to praise him. The more you will want to bless him. If you have not read Psalms 117, turn there with me to Psalms 117. If you're looking for a quick verse to memorize, this entire chapter only has two verses. It says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Isn't that awesome, dear friend? Praise ye nations. All ye nations, praise him, and all ye people. In other words, God wants everyone everywhere to praise him and to remember his kindness that he has showed towards us, and the fact that he represents truth. God represents truth. And I remember in a scripture where it says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." So in other words, we know that anything that's coming from God is truth. And so when God speaks, it is going to be something that is positive, something that is helpful. And so if anyone speaks to you prophetically and it is not lining up with the Bible, if it is not lining up with the things of God, then you know that that is a false prophet. Don't allow anyone to speak into your spirit who speaks things that are not lined up with the word of God, because God speaks prophetically to us. Yes, he does. But when people speak things to you, it should line up with the Bible, because the Bible has not changed and the message for us has not changed. And so if someone wants to encourage you with a word, that's fine. But make sure that it lines up with the word of God, because God is your joy, he is your strength, and he wants you to trust in him. Look at Psalms 118, verse 8. It says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I want you to know, dear friend, that God wants you to trust him. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to trust him. Can I say it one more time? He wants you to trust him. He wants you to put your confidence in him. Now, we put our confidence in many things. We put our confidence in our vehicles to take us back and forth. We put our confidence in our doctors whenever they check us and tell us that we're okay. We put our confidence in our jobs that we're going to be able to go to work and they're going to give us a paycheck to take care of our personal business. You know, we put our confidence in our family that they're always going to be there for us, or our spouses. And, you know, we put our confidence in so many people, and we expect them to do what they say that they're going to do. If someone says, "I'm going to be at your house Friday at 4 p.m. to pick you up to go for an appointment," you expect that person to show up. And there's just so many things in life that we trust other people for, and we don't realize that that trust that we have put in those people is actually faith. It's actually faith. Because when you just believe what someone says and you don't even question them, because you know them well enough to know that whatever they have said, that they're going to keep their word, then you must understand that the same trust that we put in those people, God expects us to put that trust in him. Why? Because we should get to know God so well through his word and through prayer, through communicating with him. We should get to know him so well that we just automatically know, without a doubt, that every need that we have has already been supplied. Even if we don't see the money yet, or we don't see the house yet, or the car yet, or we don't see the job yet, or we don't see the family that needs to be restored in our life yet, it does not matter whether we see it or not. We ought to believe it way in advance and understand that God has already done it. Why? Because a person who has a close relationship with someone else is going to believe their word. And so, dear friend, I want to know, how closely are you walking with God, and how much do you know him enough to understand that God never fails, to understand that what he has promised to do for you, that he will do it for you. What he has promised to restore unto you, that he will restore unto you. If you have a loved one that has been away from home and has not spoken to you or communicated with you, don't be afraid to stand on the promises of God and to understand that God is going to restore that person to you. He is going to restore that relationship. He's going to help you through that challenge, through that trial. God is able to do that. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I've already read you Psalm 118, verse 8, where it says that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. So if you can trust all those other people that you know very well to keep their word to you when they have given you their word, it doesn't matter what it is, whether they're going to show up at your house and take you to a restaurant, or they're going to come on their day off and help you to repair your porch, or to help you do some lawn work, whatever it is that person has promised to you, and, you know, you didn't even give it a second thought. You just said, okay, well, I'll see you on Friday then, or I'll see you on Saturday then. Whatever it is, you just automatically believe that that person will do it. So I want to challenge you that the same trust that you put in people when they give you their word that they're going to do something, you don't lose any sleep over it. You don't stress about it. You just sleep well at night with that word from that person. I want to challenge you to do the same with God. I want to challenge you to believe God. I want to challenge you to trust God. I want to challenge you to stand on the word of God and just to take God at his word, that what he has promised to you, that it's already done. It's already done, dear friend. God is your joy. He is your strength. And what he has promised to do, he will do it. Do you prefer to put your trust in man, or do you prefer to put your trust in God? I want to encourage you to put your trust in God. And we're going to wrap up our lesson with St. John chapter 15. St. John chapter 15, one of the verses that I love. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except he abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If ye abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. I'll say it one more time. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And verse 11 is your key verse for this lesson. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So Jesus spoke these wonderful words to his disciples just before he went back to heaven. One of the things that he was saying to us is that those who stay with him, those who abide with him and allow him to abide with them. In other words, we are with Jesus and Jesus is in our hearts. Those who continue in him, he wants us to know that the joy that he gave to us will remain in us. And the joy will bubble up and be full in us. God wants us to know that he has given us joy that will make us full. If you're walking around feeling empty, that means that you need to go back to the altar. You need to spend more time talking to God. God said that his joy in us would be full. Full. When something is full, there's no room for anything else. When something is full, it means that it's running over, it's overflowing. I don't know if you've ever asked anyone to pour you a drink of water or what have you, and they weren't paying attention because they were busy talking to you while they were pouring, and all of a sudden you see water running over the counter, and they stop immediately talking and start trying to find something to mop it up. Well, when God says that his joy in us would be full, what he's saying is that not only would it just barely reach the top, but it would be overflowing. So when the joy gets to the top, it runs over. It runs over. And when something runs over, it means it has the ability to touch something else. And so God wants your joy to be full, running over, and to be able to touch someone else. Because the joy that God gives you is not just for yourself, but the joy that God gives you is to be able to share with someone else. And so right now, I want you to take a moment and just begin to praise God. Just begin to bless him and just begin to thank him for that joy that is full in your heart, that joy that is full in your life, that joy that is overflowing in you. Because the moment you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, the moment you ask him to come into your heart, he does. And he gives you joy and he gives you peace. You see, you might not feel it right away because some people, you know, they just do this quick little dry prayer and then they jump into their cars and go home. But years ago, we didn't do that. We spent time at the altar and we prayed and the person spent enough time with God praying and seeking him. And it wasn't just a dry prayer and then they were done. They actually spent time pouring out their hearts to God and allowing him to fill their hearts with his presence. And so, dear friend, if you have never felt the presence of God, I want to encourage you, spend time in prayer. Spend time seeking the Lord because God is real. God is real. His presence is real, and he wants to overwhelm you with his presence. He wants you to understand how much he loves you. He wants you to understand how much he cares about you, and he wants to have, look at verse 11, he says, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. You know, it always amazes me how people lose their salvation or you can't lose your salvation, but they lose their joy, like similar to a person that keeps a very messy house or bedroom or closet or what have you, or their drawer is messy, and they're looking for socks and they can't find the other pair, you know, because they don't have them all paired up, and so they're constantly searching for socks. Well, I don't want you to be like that, dear friend. I want you, don't lose your joy like a person losing the matching pair of socks, constantly trying to find the other one. When God gives you joy, that joy should remain in you. In other words, nothing at all should be able to stop you from having a smile on your face, from having joy in your heart. And if it happened to be so temporarily, you should be able to get it back quickly. You should be able to find the right scriptures to read to encourage yourself. You should be able to pray and have the peace of God just drop back in your heart and strengthen you. Don't allow the cares of this world to burden you down and to allow you to lose that joy, because it was Jesus' desire that his joy remain in you, that his joy remain in you. And so if you do not feel the joy of the Lord right now, take some time and pray. Take some time and say, Lord, restore your joy. Restore your joy, because you wanted that joy of God to remain in me. And it says that your joy may be full. Full. And I've already talked about full, the fullness of the Lord. God wants you to be full of his joy, full of his peace, and full of faith. Dear friend, God has given all of us a measure of faith. He wants you to have faith in him today, this very moment. I don't know what you are seeking God for, whether it be a breakthrough with your mortgage or your car payments or what have you, your children or your grandchildren. You know, you might be praying for your grandchild to be healed or delivered or what have you. Whatever you're praying for, I want you to know, dear friend, that God does hear your prayer. He understands the pleading of your heart, and he understands what's going on in your personal life. God does not see the world as this big blob, and he is not this far-off God, but he is a God that is very personable and personal, and he sees each of us individually, and he understands the cares of our hearts, and he really is care. He really does care about you. And so as we go into prayer, I want you to focus on understanding that God has joy for you and that he wants to put that joy in your heart, and not only temporarily but permanently. You ought to be a walking, talking, joyful person, always having praise upon your lips and a shining in your eyes and a joy just bubbling up in your spirit, because Jesus came. Rejoice, rejoice, O earth, because Jesus came. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and he came to let us know that there is hope for us. Friend, there is hope for you. There is hope for your family. There is hope for your children. There is hope for your grandchildren. There is hope for you. And God sent his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to know that Jesus came just for you. Just for you and just for your family. He loves you very much, and he wants your joy to be full. As we get ready to pray, I hope that you will pray with me. Our key verse for all of our lessons is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And our closing thoughts are, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There is no such thing as can. And what you believe, you can achieve. Dear friend, I don't know what you're pursuing, what you're trying to accomplish, but I want you to know that with God, all things are possible. Don't ever give up on your dream. Don't ever give up on your loved one. If you're praying for them, continue praying for them. If you're waiting on God for something special, for a miracle, I want you to know that God is still in the miracle working business. This is your season to be blessed. And I want you to know that God loves you very much. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I just give you glory, honor, and praise. I bless and magnify your holy name. I thank you, Lord, for your daughters, your sons, and for all those that are listening to my voice. I pray, O God, that they would not neglect prayer, fasting, and seeking your face, studying the word of God. But, Lord God, that they would seek to know you better each day. Because every day with Jesus just gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter than the day before. Lord, I hope they never tire of hearing me say that, because it is the truth that every day with Jesus just gets better and better. I pray, oh God, that you would truly touch right now, touch that one that's listening to my voice. I pray that they will be encouraged. I pray that they will be strengthened right now. Remember those, oh God, around the world. Oh God, those that speak Spanish. If I can just take a moment and bless you in Spanish. Gracias, Señor. Gracias, Espíritu Santo. Santo, Santo, Jesús. Jesús es mi fuerte. Gracias, Señor. Gracias, Señor. Lord, I thank you right now. I praise you. I give you glory, honor, majesty, dominion, and power belonging unto you. I bless you right now. I honor you. I pray for nations everywhere, God, north, south, east, and west, Asia, Africa, Lord, the European nations, oh God, Central America, oh God, in the Caribbean, all over the world, God, north, south, east, and west, Father, oh God, the Russian country, God, wherever people are that are seeking your face, we pray, oh God, that they would remember to look up for that their salvation draweth nigh. Remember those in India, God. Oh, God, in the far reaches of the earth, oh, touch right now, God. Those in the Middle East, oh, God, touch right now in the name of Jesus. God, we pray for the sick. Lord, that you would touch those who are sick. We know that you're able to heal, oh, God. Heal back aches, oh, God. Leg aches, oh, God. And those who are having trouble with the circulation in their legs, oh God. We know that you're able, oh God, to heal right now. Oh God, I thank you for your touch. Father, oh God, someone who's having trouble with their tooth, oh God, and their gums, oh God. We know that you're able to heal right now, God. Those who are having trouble with their throats right now, God. We know that you're able to heal and sinus infections, oh God. We know that you're able to heal and earaches, oh God. We know that you're able to heal. I thank you right now, for you are truly worthy to receive glory and honor and pain. And somebody's having their right arm restored right now. They've had a stroke, oh God, and that right arm is being restored right now. Father, oh God, I just give you praise and glory. Father, all that paralysis on the right side of their body is being restored right now. God, I thank you for that healing touch. Father, move in a special way, and I thank you for that healing touch right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Dear friend, I just want to encourage you to put your trust in the Lord, because God truly knows your heart. He understands all that you have gone through, and truly, he wants to bless you, but you must have faith in God. It's okay to put your trust or your faith in friends, but guess what? Friends will fail you. Family will fail you. But first and foremost, understand this, that God will never fail you. He was nailed to the cross, nailed to the cross. Listen to this song.
Hallelujah. Oh, oh, oh. Thank you, Jesus.
He was nailed to the cross for us. Another song says, where would I be?
Nothing, not even God couldn't find me. Black like a night and my garments dirty. Man, me stuck like chuck run out of luck, but it's no money. But you, Jehovah, God love him, pick me. Wouldn't sit back and make faith and set me. So him send Jesus to figure out that Calvary. Now me save you grace. Love and mercy sound weird. Where would I be without your mercy? Where would I be without your grace? Where would I be without your love? Where would I be without your mercy? Where would I be without your grace? Where would I be without your love? Without grace, yes, me would have jumped out of the race. Me ya kill them and run and take off my shoes, please. Jump on the ground and chip up all my face. When me look, everything jump out of place. But early one Sunday morning, don't ask him for me and love it, they're working. Turn on the radio, it was very inspiring when me hear these words from Danny McClurkin. Let me say, and get back in line. A place of repentance was right on time. Thank you, Reverend, for the tape, you're too kind. Grace and mercy set me free. It feels so good. Feel like a chicken when me let out a coop. Feel like a star when living in Hollywood. Me a feel sing the song. I'm feeling the whole neighborhood. Where would I be without your mercy? Where would I be without your grace? Where would I be without your love? Where would I be without your mercy? Where would I be without your love?
Evangelist Faith Reed, Second Chance Ministries music you've also been listening to. But this is Vision, Evangelist Faith Reed, and we're going to close with Second Chance, the band out of Fort Lauderdale. Their music, they've been so kind enough to let us use their music in our radio broadcast, and we send out a shout and much love to our saints down there at Berean Church of God, and also Pastor Fagan, the church family, and Second Chance Band. Brother Uart, we bless you, and thank you so much. Second Chance Ministries, to bless. This is Evangelist Faith Reed. Join us again as we study the Word of God on Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Fridays. God bless you.
Ah! Mr. Summer, we bless the little fool. Me and Funny Girls, the blessings are running down. Me and David, the head. Imagine God, the cup, and over. What's to be?
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. In a me life, a pure peace and happiness. In a me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm the Lord, I'm the Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just too anointed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be disappointed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Yo, let me preach. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes late from the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place and shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like Jamaican food in a lunch pot. I'm from the north, the devil can't touch that. Just Satan to get back. And I'm too blessed to be stressed.